1 Corinthians is where we were at. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So let's get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then I'll give some more instruction on what we want to do here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As I mentioned, not going to be really preaching things tonight, but we're going to be learning some things. And so, if you have a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen or something, I think you might want to write some things down. You're going to be giving a lot of information. Now, as I mentioned to you about this, like I said, we're going to go through these things. And as we go, I want you to be paying attention. Here's why. Well, before I say this, let's look at verses 4 through 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. Now, we've already looked at some of these things, and I've already defined some words. I'm going to go back, and we're going to define these again. And then I'm going to slowly give you some information that you should pay attention to. And then I'm going to give you a little bit of why this is so important for you to pay attention to, even if the gift that we're going through and looking at is not yours, okay? And I know for many of you, you say, I don't know what mine is. I want you to pay attention to each one of these things, and I think it's really going to help you. Many in the room have already indicated to me that, hey, the thought to the topic of spiritual gifts is very unknown, and many of you, it wouldn't surprise me if most of you didn't know your spiritual gift. And by the way, I just want to say this. I think it's important that we understand what the motivations are, what the point of spiritual gifts are, that we need to understand where they come from, how they are ought to be used. But let me just put it this way. You don't have to know your spiritual gift for God to use you. And we don't want to put so much focus on what your gift is that it almost like puts you in a straitjacket and keeps you from, God, I just don't know. I don't know. I just want to say this. If you don't know, don't worry about it. You just need to get busy and serve. You need to find places where God can use you in the church and just do it. As you get involved in ministry, God will show you and lead you and point you in the right directions where you can be used most effectively. And so I want to make very sure that we're not overly making emphasis on the gifts, and I've got to know what they are. Okay, I've got to know it. I think it's good to discover, oh, wait, I think really God has really made me this way, and some other people can identify. I think too many people get hooked on finding this gift and taking these, you know, online course tests, you know, to like, oh, this is what I landed on, you know, because I answered this many questions in this. I think you can get really sidetracked and bogged down, and I'm going to explain that in just a little bit more just to help you and make it more simple on what we're really looking at, okay? So let's look at these three verses, 4, 5, and 6, and there's some key words here that we're going to look at. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now in those three verses, we have the Trinity given to us, but there's three key words that we're going to be looking at here for just a moment. We already have. I'm going to review with you these words. First of all, we have diversities or differences, a variety. That's a good word to use. We have this diversities, differences, and then diversities again. We have a variety of these things. Okay. First of all, he says in verse 4, we have a variety or diversities of gifts. Okay. Gifts, and here's where I want you to start, you know, take some notes. I want you to be able to identify the difference between these gifts, and this is what we're going to be honing in on for the next little bit here in this study. But gifts, the word here, the root word here is to bestow favor on. We talked about this word. Now, you don't need to know what the Greek word is here, but what word did I stress this morning in the morning message? It's a giving word. Grace. Okay. Grace is the word it's a word of grace. It's gifts. It's to bestow favor on someone. To bestow favor on someone, okay? And it comes from God. Have we not seen already that the gifts come from God? We have. The source of the gifts. Remember, these are not our things that we possess. We're not just good people that, boy, I just have this. God endowed them to us. He gave them to us. The Holy Spirit gifted us with these gifts, okay? And these gifts are bestowment, they're favor upon me to use, that God has given to me for other believers. That is so important that you understand that. I can't emphasize that enough, that God gives believers. These are different than talents, abilities. God gives believers something. He gives them gifts for the enablement and betterment of other believers. Something that he bestows in our lives. So you say, well, I have the gift of, tonight we're going to be looking at prophecy. Well, I have the gift of prophecy. Listen, you have nothing, okay? Anything that you have, who gave it? God gave it. Please understand that anything that you have, God gave. So what does that take out in our Christian lives? Pride. We cannot be proud of anything. In fact, the misuse of God's gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, will result in pride. And what do we know according to the Word of God? What does pride do? Only by pride cometh contention. There's no doubt when we as believers take and hijack God's gifts that he's given to us as our own. Say, that's mine. This is what I do. And everybody recognizes that I've got the gift of. When we hijack that, then we are robbing God of what he deserves. And there's no doubt pride is going to arise and division will happen. Now, who remembers what the main point of these gifts are? Why does God give us spiritual gifts? What is the main? Of course, to honor and glorify God. And how does he use these gifts? Somebody tell me. To edify the body of Christ. What? That's a difficult word. What does that mean? What does it mean to edify the body of Christ?
To serve other believers.
Okay, to serve other believers and literally to build up. Okay, we're building up. We're strengthening. We are reinforcing this building. We're making it strong. We're making it solid. I like when we're building things. I like solid built things. That's just, I always have liked that. Nothing that you can shake and move. I want it rock solid. You know what? God's church needs to be rock solid. And what he does so that it will be rock solid is he has created all kinds of body parts with gifts that he has given to each believer so that this building can be rock solid and each believer be rock solid. That is so important. You know, if Roger's going to be rock solid, yes, there's something on him. He's got to give himself to the Lord. But who's, in context here, whose responsibility is it to help him to be rock solid? Us. All of us. We are helping. And I could go around the entire room here. All of us, we benefit off of other people's gifts. This church benefits off of everybody's gift. So again, a gift is, the word is to bestow favor on from God for the benefit of other believers. Okay, understand what the gift is. Now, when we compare it in the body, the illustration that God uses, he uses the body of Christ and he relates it to the physical body. If we were to put this to the body, it would be like the individual bones and muscles and the pieces, the intricate parts that are put together. Okay? The individual muscles, that's kind of like the gifts. The gifts that God has given. There's all kinds of individual body parts. Okay? So that's what we're looking at. When we talk about the gifts, and he says here now that there are diversity or variety of gifts. You know, even in this room tonight, there are a variety of gifts. The Holy Spirit is gifted. He's gifted everybody just a little bit different, just like a body is made up. And when you put all of the parts together, what do you end up with? A body. Fearfully and wonderfully made are our bodies. And guess what? Fearfully and wonderfully made is the body of Christ. Okay? So he puts that all together. And we're still talking about these gifts. There's a variety or diversities of gifts. I like to put it, I kind of took this, somebody else. And by the way, there are all kinds of renditions of the gifts. There's different classifications, but everybody has a different thing. And what are the gifts? Because there's several passages in the Bible that refer to the gifts, and it can be a little confusing. And I just want to say this, I'm only proposing you one idea, but it doesn't mean that we have to put everything into this bottle and it's got to be just like this. Understand that I'm giving to you some, maybe I could put it this way, a perspective to look at the gifts to help. Okay? It's just another perspective, because it's hard to tell exactly. You know, all the three or four passages that list different types of, I hesitate to say gifts, but the different things, they differ a little bit. You know, there's some overlap, but then there's some different ones. And so I'll try to explain some of those. But gifts, I'd like to put it this way, the inward drive that God has placed inside of each believer. And I'll read this again. The inward drive that God has placed inside of each believer to love and to build up and to encourage the body of Christ. Okay, if you don't want to write that whole thing, here's the main thing that you take out of that. I'd say the inward drive, or another word would be motivations. Motivations. Things that God has given to you. And whose possessions? God's, not ours. We are stewards of these things. So in every believer, God has placed inside of you something to do for the betterment of the rest of the body. And a good and unique way to look at it is an inward drive that God has placed inside of each believer to love, to build up, and encourage the body of Christ. Does that make sense? I want to go slow. I don't want to go too fast. God has given you that for the purpose of building up this. It has nothing to do with building up me. Nothing. It has everything to do about building up you, other people here, edification. And if I were to put it to a key word here with gifts, is motivation, the motivations. And when I say motivations, I'm talking about, it's a type of a, I don't even want to say service, because jump into the next one, but it's something that God places inside of you that, well, it's an inward drive, it's a motivation that of a type of a way that you serve, okay? And I will tell you this, it's neat when God shows you, when you come to realize the gift that God gives you. I'll tell you, when you serve in this way, it's a blessing. You enjoy it because you're serving in the right spot. You know, a screwdriver is a screwdriver, and you can't personify a screwdriver. It's not a person. But you know, some of us use screwdrivers as wedges. You flip it around and use it as a hammer. Sometimes you use it as a you know, to test to see if a hot wire is, you know, hot. It can be used all kinds of different ways, but I'll tell you what, it's most happy when it's, you know, tightening up a screw or loosening up a screw. Okay, it doesn't get happy. But you understand that's the reason why it was made. God has made you, and he's given you a gift. And when you are used doing the thing that God created you for within the body of Christ, it's a thrill and it's a joy. Okay? Okay, that's a gift. What's the key word we're wanting to look at here? Motivation, okay? I want you to get that. I want the gifts we're looking at are motivations. It's ways in which you are motivated within the body of Christ. It encourages, it excites you to serve this way. And, you know, should we be willing to do all kinds of different things, the gifts? Well, of course we should. We need to be willing. But God didn't necessarily wire you for all those. He puts you in a certain spot. And so we need to remember that. Motivations. We read the best passage that gives us, and what I agree with a certain commentator, I think the best passage that gives us the motivations is Romans. Romans chapter 12, verses 6, 7, and 8. I think you have to write that down because, like I said, there's several passages that address the topic of spiritual gifts, okay? Romans chapter 12, verses 6, 7, and 8. And we're actually going to go there for maybe tonight. Depends on how much I talk here on these things, okay? All right, gifts. You think you understand gifts a little bit? We're going to go to the specific gifts here. Okay, now let's get a little bit bigger. Each body part is put into a system. We have different systems in our body, okay? We're going to expand a little bit. Each gift now goes to part of an administration, okay? Administration is a little bit different, okay? Look at the verses again. 1 Corinthians 12, 4, 5, and 6. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences or varieties of administrations. Okay, that's another word there, administrations. These are areas of specific service wherein a believer can use his gift. You can use your gift in a variety of ministries. Ministry is a good word here. And in fact, that is going to be our key word. We've got motivations with gifts, and now we have ministries. Ministries. You might have the gift of service. That will be the second one we look at. And you can serve in a number of different ministries. This word, administrations, they're specific areas of service. Okay? I'd like to put it this way. It's the arena or the arenas of ministry that God has orchestrated within the church for individuals to use their gifts to benefit others. So you have a certain gift, and we've got three or four different places that you could utilize that gift. God might have gifted you to be a teacher. And I'm not necessarily talking about a Sunday school teacher, but you might have the gift of teaching. In other words, you're very motivated to share truth with people so that the light bulb turns on. And you love that. That motivates you to transfer that knowledge to somebody else, that truth. You just might be very motivated that way, but you can teach in a variety of different ministries. It could be different ages, different sizes of groups of people. It could be discipleship one-on-one. It could be to large classes. It might be in an institute. It might be, again, just one-on-one discipleship. But they're individual gifts that can be used in a number of different services or ministries. Let me give you the passages where we find the ministries. Now, again, this is one perspective. There's no hard set rule here. Okay, but it could be that 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 to 31 might be these differences of administrations. We'll look at those later. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 to 31. And then in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 and 12. That's the passage that's talking about. He gave some apostles or prophets and apostles and pastors and teachers and all that. Okay, those would be different ministries or areas of service in which you could utilize your gift. So our key word with gifts is motivations. Our key word with administrations is ministries, okay? Different ministries. Okay, we've gotten two there. Does that make sense? Different ministries where you use your gifts. You can use your gifts in a number of different ministries, but these are ministries. And so this passage that I just gave you talk about those different areas of service. Okay, and then thirdly, verse 6, and there are diversities or varieties of operations. Okay, operations. Operations, here we have the word energy. The energy in which something is worked out. The energy in which something is worked out. In other words, it's a variety of effectiveness. You know what? There's some people could look at a weekly Bible study with somebody that one-on-one you're training them. And, you know, honestly, you get done with that Bible study and that person hasn't, you know, made a decision to go be a missionary in you know, the jungles of Africa. They might not have made any big step, but, you know, it was piece by piece, word by word, phrase by phrase, and they're just building a little here, a little there, and they're growing slowly. And we would look at that and say, you know, is this very effective? And you'd say, wow, it seems like I'd really like to be a part of something where people get saved all the time. Okay, let me give you an example of this. And pastors go through this. You can pastor a church and, you know, it's the preaching and teaching ministry is week in and week out, right? It's a steady diet. And pastors have to be very patient with that because you don't see big explosions of progress. Here's one of the struggles of a pastor because, you know, that most pastors are not super dynamic in their preaching and they got all these amazing illustrations and they're just powerful points. And, you know, it's just the people go and they come out and they say, you know, that was good, but, you know, it's not. And then, you know, the pastor is just like, just going, they're looking for results, looking for people to be helped. And then the evangelists come in. And preach, pastors, we love the evangelists, but sometimes we get jealous because the evangelists, they're flashy, they've got everything, you know, their sermons are just like, you're like, wow, that guy, he's amazing. And you know what happens? Is the very thing that you've been preaching to your people for years. You know, you're like almost the same words. You're like giving it to them and people are like, you know, and it's like, I don't know if they're getting it. I remember one time it happened. You know what? I had been helping somebody with something and I gave them this truth. I mean, I felt like, you know, they're not getting it though. And I gave it to them and there was back and forth with it and they were giving it. And this young evangelist came in, you know, and he's going and I think he made one statement. And afterwards that individual came, I got it, man. Did you hear that? That was amazing. You know, he put it that way. And I wanted to say, man, I've been telling you this for years. That's the way it is. You know, the evangelist comes along and I'll tell you, it's an area of service that these people are used and it's different, but it's a different effectiveness. And guess who's in? It's not the evangelist and it's not the pastor. Who's the effectiveness? It's God. But what he does is he gives different areas of effectiveness and he knows exactly what it needs to be. And I'll tell you, it was a blessing to me because as a young pastor back in the day, it is easy to get frustrated because you're wanting to see at the end of the message, you're wanting to see 10 people come forward, kind of like the evangelistic meetings. But it rarely happens. And what you can think is, where's my effectiveness? Get it? I remember thinking that one time and an older evangelist came through. And he was talking to me and he said, Sean, I want you to hear something. He said, listen to this. He said, the people of that church will, you know, they'll bang, you know, when the evangelist comes in. But it's the steady diet that grows the people. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. He said, you just keep on preaching the principles and the truths and scripture from God's word and these people will grow. Yeah, there will be growth spurts. There will be, you know, when the evangelist. But God has gifted that effectiveness to these different people. So this third one is the effectiveness. And who is in charge of all this? It's God, okay? But there's different effectiveness. Is this important? It is, because we can easily compare ourselves and it's like, wow, you know, I'm just doing this and I don't see any fruit. That person's doing this and they just get scores of people. But guess what? It's okay, because God has a variety of effectiveness, okay? And so here's our three things and our key word here, we want to put our, if I could say manifestations would be our M word. Very simply put, this would be the results, okay? The results. So first of all, we have gifts, and that's the motivations. This is how you individually are motivated to serve. Then we have administrations. These are the different ministries in which you can serve. And then we have the manifestations or the results. And here we see 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, okay? And we'll see if we can get, we won't get to that tonight, of course, but that's the passage where we see some of these things. Okay, all that done, do you see the difference between gifts, administrations, and operations? Okay, I hope you get these. These are foundational. Okay. Now, I'm going to read a story. Now, we're going to get into the gifts. Our focus and purpose in the next many weeks is going to be on the gifts, the first one that we did, the motivations, and how we serve. Because that's where we are at ground level. Once we understand the gifts, then we get plugged into certain ministries. Now, we don't wait to get plugged in until we find the gift, but this is just the most, this is the smallest part of the building, okay? So it might seem silly to you. I'm going to read a little story that another author has laid out to try to understand gifts. There's going to be a situation, a real-to-life, it might sound funny to you, but a real-to-life situation that an individual is involved in, and then there's seven people which come from the seven motivations or gifts from Romans chapter 12 that come in, and this is, it's just to give a perspective, and this is very simple and short. We'll get much deeper into it as we, each week, but this is a simple way that these people are gifted, and they look at it in a different way. And I'll tell you, here's what I want you to get. Don't miss this. The purpose of this, even though you say, well, that's not me, the point is that you learn to understand not just the way you respond, but the way other people respond so that you can appreciate other gifted people. You realize that gifts oftentimes frustrate everybody because they are differently motivated. And you know what we easily do? We look down upon those people because we're gifted a certain way and we're like, what are they thinking? Why don't they do this? But when we recognize, wait a second, they are, God wired them differently for a different purpose. That's what makes this body unique. And that's what makes us productive and strong, that we have variety. Can you imagine if all of your body was a nose? Ugly, okay? Absolutely ugly. And it wouldn't be useful for anything. Except blowing your nose, I guess. So the body of Christ. Before we even study, isn't it good that we're all different? It is. But I'll tell you what, it's the first thing that frustrates most of the people in the church because they don't understand why I want to give you these things because I want you to learn to appreciate other people. Appreciate other people. Okay, so I'm going to read this funny story. Just take it in, okay? All right, Janice was taken unexpectedly ill. Janice. No one knew the cause, but everyone knew she needed help. She had two small children at home. Her husband was gone for a month, and there was no one to pick up the slack. As she rested in her hospital bed, waiting for the next battery of tests, she wondered, how will Christ provide for the many needs I have? About that time, seven of her good friends came storming through the door, seven members of the body of Christ, each with the same purpose, to help this woman through her misery. But each of the seven had a different spiritual gift. You can imagine her surprise then when each of them approached, showing her love in a slightly different way. The first through the door was Paula, prophet. She looked left, then right, and whispered to Janice, "What is God trying to say to you? He certainly has your attention now." That was not much comfort, but it was obvious. Paula had her best interest at heart. She seemed to imply that sin led to sickness, and this would be a good time for Janice to take inventory of her life. Maybe later. For now, that didn't give much comfort. Her motivation, however, was good. She was trying to expose truth by revealing sin. Paula, prophet. Next came Susie, service. Susie might have been renamed Annie Activity. She headed up the church's outreach ministry, was a chairman of the women's shelter, and was social chairman of her Sunday school class. Her comments to Janice were a bit more helpful to the in the physical realm. "Don't worry, Janice," she began. "I'll see that the kids are taken care of. Give me a list of what you need from home, and I'll clean the house before they send you home." A giant load had been lifted from Jan's heart. Susie, too, was showing love. The way she did it was to meet practical needs. Edie Exhorter was next in the door. She grabbed Jan's hand, squeezed it, and began to console her, but in the spiritual realm. "All things do work together for good," Edie began. "God has a plan to change your life through this sickness. It may go on, but God will give you grace. And what an encouragement you've been to us as you have passed through troubled waters." Edie's comments, "This may go on," didn't give much comfort. But what she said sort of lifted life out of the realm of hospital hurt into a world of spiritual reality. God's perspective was different than ours. That helps. Edie, you see, was showing love as well. Her motivation was to build up the spiritual perspective by demonstrating God's sovereignty and love. Rhonda Research was standing over in the corner, not saying much. "Thanks for coming, Rhonda," Janice said. You usually had to initiate conversations with Rhonda. She would rather think than speak. "I've been studying your symptoms," she began. "I think I may know the cause. I have a book I want you to read." Rhonda was showing love too. Her motivation was to verify truth through investigation. Mary Mercy could contain herself no longer, tears streaming down her face. She sobbed, "I can't tell you how I felt when I heard you were sick." Janice understood. Whenever anyone was hurting, Mary hurt with them. Her way of showing love was through empathy. She entered into the feelings of the one hurting and tried to comfort them by bearing some of the pain. Gretchen Giver was another one who said little but did much, always anonymously. She bent over and asked Janice if she had insurance. "How much more would a private room cost?" she asked. She planned to stop at the business office on the way out and, without anyone knowing who did it, pay the difference. She too loved Janice. Her way of demonstrating the love of Christ was to build up or develop a person or a ministry through unselfish sharing of what she had. Abby Administrator was last. She was busy taking notes, organizing tasks, and making plans to implement them. "Don't worry about a thing," she consoled Jan. "I've given your job to the office in the your job at the office to Brenda. I'll have Marie teach your class on Sunday, and Leah will take your place at Vacation Bible School." She too was demonstrating the love of Christ. Her motivation was to achieve a task through delegation. Unlike Susie's service, she wasn't doing it herself. She was, however, looking long range at the things that had to be done and was assigning those tasks to others to meet Jan's needs. All right, does that make sense? You see, every one of these ladies loved their friend. But God had motivated each one of these ladies to help in a different way. When we talk about the gifts, we're talking about a motivation to help, to love, to build up. Silly illustration, but didn't it make sense? We're all motivated a little bit differently to help the body of Christ. You know, the prophet wants to expose the truth. The servant wants to meet physical needs. The exhorter wants to give spiritual encouragement. The researcher wanted to get to the bottom of the cause. The merciful wanted to show how she cared through empathy. The giver wanted to relieve the financial strain by meeting her financial needs. And the administrator wanted to relieve future problems through delegation. And so there we have the motivations. And it's 7 o'clock. So we were going to start the prophet, but it will take an entire evening to go through the prophet. So here's what I'm going to do, is we're going to stop there, and I'm going to say this, because as I already began to say, I want you to pray. I want you to begin to pray. about this, not even so much. Honestly, I'll tell you what I care more about as we go through 1 Corinthians 12 here, and then Romans 12 and Ephesians. And as we look at some of these places, I would say our church is going to benefit more by learning to understand the people around us, being patient with them, appreciating them, knowing how to help them and encourage them, knowing what not to say. When we learn that other people are gifted differently, then we learn to appreciate one another and say, I'm glad for that guy. I'm thankful for this lady. Wow, she always frustrated me, but now I get it. That is more important than all of us coming to understand, this is my spiritual gift. And I'll tell you, this is my burden, that we learn to appreciate how God has blessed and gifted, graced each one of us and other people so that we can learn to appreciate each other. And so as we go, I was ready to jump into the prophet tonight. And by the way, when we begin, probably it's not going to be next week because it's Christmas service. We've got to do Christmas service things, and so we'll do that. But I'll tell you what, as soon as we're ready to jump it, we're going to get into the prophet. And right away, you're going to start that. And many of you, and I will tell you, in a church like this, probably very few people that fit into this motivation, the prophet. But I will say this, the goal is not to say, that's that guy. And that's that lady for sure, you know, and get, I'll tell you, you will be tempted to be almost frustrated with that person because you're like, yeah, that's the way they think about, you know, it's appreciation. Because this, who does this come from? We already built on this. Foundationally, where do these gifts come from? God, the Holy Spirit has gifted each individual. So it's not him or her. Do you get that? It's not him or her. It's God. And if it's God, we got to be thankful for it. We've got to appreciate it. And if you're like, oh, that's certainly not me, don't just like check it off and wait. Okay, go on to the next one, you know, because I want to find out. No, what I want you to do is take as many notes so that you can be a blessing to the prophets that are out there, so that you can appreciate the prophets that are out there. And so don't just wait for yours. When I was thinking and you know, going through this, my dilemma is like, should I just give a very simple overview? Or should we really explore it? And here's the conclusion that I've come to. I think we're going to explore it. Because I think the more we know it, the more we'll appreciate it. And the more we'll know how to encourage that person. Because for every blessing and encouragement that person is through it, the very thing that they're gifted with can be also their discouragement. Did you hear that? It can also be the greatest discouragement. If you're not fulfilling, if you think you're not doing well at that, it can be your greatest discouragement. And it's not me, but I know how to help encourage them. And we're going to get a lot of topics that address and how does this, and by the way, how does this person, how do they parent? How do they interact with a group of people? How do you confront a person with this? There's different ways to learn to interact with them. This is all just a certain type of perspective. It's not just, there's different ways to look at it, but this is one way to look at it. And so we're going to explore that. We'll begin, not next week, but I don't know if it'll be the following week, but we'll begin to look at the prophet and see the positives, the negatives. We're going to look at examples in the Bible and then see how we can help and be an encouragement to them and how that person is a blessing to our church. So your assignment right now is to be praying, not just God show me what I am, but God show me how I can be a blessing and appreciate the people around me. Father, I pray that you would help us. We did not get near where I thought we were going to get tonight, but Lord, I think it's good that we take the time and to prepare. And Lord, as we look at these things and we see the different ways that you have made us, I pray that you would just encourage us to be a blessing and learn to appreciate the people that are around us. And so God, just go with us as we navigate through these things, that we would learn and that we would be closer. And that's what 1 Corinthians 12 is. It's unity through diversity. that we would be closer and unified as we see the beautiful diversity in which you've created us. And so God, help us to that end. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen.